Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. It's Daily Devotion number 45. I wrote it before and I've forgotten already. Look at that. It's great to be together. It's a splendid day. One of the reasons it's a splendid day is we found out this week we get to have church on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Let the Amen, as was just sung, sound from his people. Yes, I am so excited. I don't think anything could ruin my joy right now. I'm sure something could, but I'm not quite sure what. My joy is just sort of exuberating within me as I look forward to Sunday. Before I finally, I think it's been 2 months now, finally I'll be able to stand amongst the people of God and sing, and no longer sing in my study by myself, staring into a screen. It's going to be very exciting. So if you need somewhere to worship and you're in South Auckland, come check us out, Covenant Presbyterian Church. Be great to have you, see you there. Apart from that, if you're not from South Auckland, but your church isn't gathering, we'll still be live streaming our services, so you're welcome to tune in for that. Other than that, a very, very warm welcome to you and a good afternoon. It's great to be back. Great to have another daily devotion. Great to be back in the book of 1 Peter. And so if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn to the book of 1 Peter. But before we do that, let's just pray. Father, we do thank you that very, very soon your people can return to worship together. But we thank you also that this afternoon we can open up your word, and we pray that you would bless it to us, that you would use it to edify us, to build us up, and that your Holy Spirit would illuminate your word so that we would be fed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at verse 22 to 25. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So far the reading of God's word. Well, if we recap this section, you'll remember that I said that there's four commands here. There was the command to set your hope fully. There was the command to be holy. And there was the command to conduct yourselves in fear. And the last command here is in verse 22, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And you know, the interesting thing is if you take these four commands, they really flow together, funnily enough, because Peter wrote this to work together in a whole unit. So Peter is stringing these together intentionally. And so one of the points of the section, as you flow them together, is that they are to set their hope upon the coming salvation. And having set their hope upon the coming salvation, they are to become more holy, to work hard to be holy like their Father in heaven is holy. And as they strive for holiness like their Father in heaven, it leads to conducting yourself in fear, because you're going to have to stand before that Father one day. And having conducted yourself well, one of the ways you do that is by loving each other. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think often in the church, we talk a whole lot about loving one another, but what we run the temptation of doing is sort of separating love for one another and love for God. Like, we remember the command of Jesus to love God and to love neighbor. And we go, okay, I've got to make sure I love God, and having loved God, I've got to make sure I love my neighbor. But it's interesting that in the New Testament, one of the things that is just sort of smashed home over and over and over again is love for each other. In fact, every writer in the New Testament talks about it. James does, Peter does, Paul does, the writer to the Hebrews does, all the gospel writers do. It's one of the overriding themes, really. In other words, having become a believer, one of the most fundamental realities that shapes your life is the way you treat each other, the way you treat fellow believers. In fact, I would go as far as to say that love for one another is the first fundamental of the Christian faith. And so what I mean by that is, once you're a believer, so ignoring what creates you as a believer, to put it this way, one of the most fundamental fruits of being a believer is love for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Love for other people in the church. And this is not talking about love for other people in the world. Now, the Bible talks about that. The Bible talks about showing justice and mercy and kindness to people that are in the world. But Peter is really thinking about how you treat brothers and sisters in the church, how you treat fellow Christians. And Peter wants love for one another to be one of the first expressions, one of the most fundamental expressions that comes out of having a relationship with God, having God as our Father. And so he gives us the command in the second half of verse 22. He says, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So this is not a emotive, you know, like touchy-feely, or I'm just going to show love to everyone. No, it's nothing like this. This is a hard, earnest, laborious type of love. And by laborious, I don't mean it's a laborious job. I mean it's laboring. It is a hard work type of love. It's, I'm going to put my backbone into this. I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to put on my work clothes, and I'm going to earnestly strive to love one another. And sometimes love feels like that, doesn't it? I mean, let's just be honest with each other. I'd say you can tell me the truth, but you can't because you're on the other side of the computer screen. But just be upfront, like, sometimes it's hard work to love people. You know, it's been a long week. It's been a long month. You go into church and you're tired. And someone says something that's really irritating, and your instant response is kind of just to cut them down. You know how this goes. Or you hear a rumor about someone, and you instantly just kind of assume the worst. It's hard work to love each other, isn't it? And to be honest, I know I can be irritating. I know I can pull funny gestures and say things in weird ways and make mistakes and offend you, and I can hurt you and I can grieve you, and I do those things, and I know that, and I know I shouldn't, and yet I still do it. It takes hard work for you to love me, doesn't it? But that doesn't excuse us. No, we are to love one another with all our might, with all our strength, and with all our soul, just like we love our Father in heaven. But notice the motivation given by Peter to love one another. Firstly, in the beginning of verse 22, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. What does he mean by that? What does he mean by having purified your souls by obedience? Does he mean that we obeyed in such a way that we purified ourselves? Because it could be written that way. No. And we know he doesn't mean it that way, because look at the object of the obedience. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. And so what's he thinking about? Is he thinking maybe of the law, by your obedience to the law? No, he's not thinking that. Do you remember back in verse 2? Have a look at verse 2 with me. Back in verse 2, he said, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. Now, the question here is the obedience to Jesus. What I wonder if you can remember what we talked about. Maybe it's a bit hard, but the obedience to Jesus all the way back then, we noticed, was obedience to the call of the gospel. It was Peter's way of saying you obeyed the conversion call of the gospel. The gospel called out for you to be saved, and you obeyed, and you responded, and you were saved. And not only did we see it there, here we see the same reality. What is this obedience to the truth that he's speaking of? Well, this obedience to the truth, again, is obedience to the truth of the gospel. He calls us, or he called us, let me say that differently. God called us in the gospel to believe and have salvation. And we obeyed that call. So we didn't save ourselves, but what Peter's talking about is the way that we obediently came to and responded to the call of Jesus Christ to be saved. So it's not so much that we're purifying ourselves by obedience to the commands of Scripture and law, but he's just talking about conversion. And he's rephrasing conversion in a different way than maybe the way we commonly talk. But that notice the sort of the purpose of this conversion. And it leads straight to the command, doesn't it? He says, having purified yourselves by your obedience to the gospel for a sincere brotherly love. In other words, you've been saved, and one of the purposes of your salvation is your love to one another. Therefore, love one another earnestly. In other words, the very purpose you've been saved, Peter says, is that you would have love for each other. It's built into the very fiber and essence of our faith. Therefore, love each other earnestly, striving with all your might. But notice the second motivation, verse 23. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God. And it's a very similar type of idea. He says before conversion, now he's talking about regeneration. Is through the word of God, you've been born again. You've been made a new person. You're no longer the old woman or the old man who would only love self and maybe love one or two other people, but would never ever dream of loving a whole host of people in a church. But now you've been born again. You're no longer like that. You're now a child of God. You're now in the family of God. You've been born of a new seed. You're now an inheritance owner in the kingdom of God. You're now a son or daughter of God with brothers and sisters in God. So you need to be loving each other as becomes children of God. Children of God love each other. It's what they do. And so you need to do it as well. And then he goes into verse 24 and 25 and he kind of just, he argues for the fact that the word of God is enduring and therefore your love should be enduring, and basically he's fleshing out his argument. We won't go into that in detail. But notice verse 25 down the end, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. And really all Peter's saying is through the preaching of the word of God, through the ministering of the word of God, you've been made a new creature. You've been made a new creature, and you've been made a creature of love. And so ultimately, I guess for you and I, what we have to recognize is that love for one another is almost like the fundamental evidence for the fact that we've been saved. And so, of course, that raises a huge question for you and I, doesn't it? And you know what I'm going to say. Are you showing this evidence? Are you showing this fruit? You know, if you just think about your life as a tree, you're a tree and you're growing, and love is the fruit you're meant to produce. If we were to look at you, if the church was to look at you as a tree, would we see the fruit of love evident? Now, it's not about the size of your fruit. It's not about whether your fruit is bigger than other people's fruit. It's not about whether your fruit is shinier or maybe tastier. The most fundamental question is the fruit there? You know, on Sunday we looked at the vine and the vine dresser, and one of the points that Jesus made was that the Father cuts off any branch that doesn't produce fruit. And this was a common way of Jesus speaking, wasn't it? In other passages he says, if the tree doesn't produce fruit, we cut it down. And John Baptist said the same thing. He said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Otherwise we'll cut the tree down and throw it in the fire. And so here's Peter talking in a similar way, and he's saying to us, are you producing loving fruit? Is one of the fruits that's coming out of you love? Because if not, we as the church, it's not our job to cut you off, I'm not going to say that, but we as the church could look at you and say, well, brother, sister, I'm not seeing the fruit of love in you. What's going on? And in fact, we should do that, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we come alongside one another and challenge each other to produce fruit for God? Well, let it start here. Let it start with us. Let me challenge you to go away today and just pause before God. Just as you turn this off, just pause for a couple of minutes and have a look at your life in the church. Just have a think through 2020 and how you've lived your life and how you've displayed love to the body of Christ, how you've loved one another. Ask yourself, do I have this fruit? Why don't I have this fruit? If you don't have the fruit, why don't you have it? And if you do have it, ask how you can produce more of it. Because it's not just a one-time thing, is it? It's an ongoing thing. Ask yourself where you struggle in this area and go to God. Ask him to forgive you for where you're not very good at loving other people. But then also ask him to help you produce more fruit, more love, that you would have an honest love for one another. And pray for each other. It's one of the greatest ways that you can love each other is to pray for each other. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you have saved us, that you have converted us. We thank you that you have given, that you have caused us to be born again, and so that we have a living hope, and so that we are children of God. And Lord, we do acknowledge that so often we struggle to love each other. So often we find ourselves loving ourselves and really showing no regard for each other. And we pray that you would forgive us. And we ask that you would help us once more to get back on the bike and love each other with all our might. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, thanks very much for joining us. It's Tuesday. Tomorrow will be, funnily enough, Wednesday. And I'll see you back here same time, and we'll be jumping into 1 Peter chapter 2 and thinking about some living stones, which will be exciting. So you have a most blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow.